Welcome to Revealing Men, conversations that pull back the curtain, revealing the inner lives of men. I'm Randy Flood, psychotherapist and director of the Men's Resource Center of West Michigan. Today I have here Ken Porter, who's a somatic therapist who works with me here at the center in my men's therapy groups, and where we provide what Charlie Donaldson and I termed in our book, Masculopathy, Experiential Reclamation Therapy, which is basically a specialized therapy to help men reclaim emotions and develop emotional and relational intelligences. And so Ken comes in and helps me do that with men. And so I appreciate you coming today, Ken, and talking about this with us today.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
So if we were to begin our conversation today just by you sharing a little bit about what makes you interested, passionate about working with men, what would you want to say about that?
There's a couple of things. The first thing I would name is just from my own personal experience, knowing the pain of not being connected to oneself, to mm-hmm. not being connected to one's emotions. And so I've lived that, and I know how painful that is. And, you know, especially men are socialized to not be in touch with their emotions and to not be vulnerable and open. And so I've experienced both the cost of that and also the liberation of learning how to start to develop some right. emotional intelligence. So that's one main driver for me to help other men to find that same freedom.
Right.
The other is the moment that we're living in right now, you know, that's kind of encapsulated by the Me Too movement, where it's like it's a moment of reckoning for males, for masculinity. Like what, right. you know, who do we want to be? And men need some concrete tools to be able to make the shifts that are really being asked of us. So that's a big driver for me too.
Okay. Yeah, that's well said. And I think that seems counterintuitive. So let's talk a little bit about what we do. It seems counterintuitive to get men to connect to emotions and to learn intimacy skills. And it seems like some might say you're emasculating men or turning them into women. But say a little bit about your somatic work and how you think it can help men be better men.
Well, I'll start by saying that in order to be a better man, you have to be a better human. And so I would say that this work is about helping men become better humans. And a big part of that is learning that emotions are not the enemy.
Right.
That emotions are here to serve us and to guide us and to inform us and to help us connect with other people. So to me, it's more of a strengthening process to develop that emotional intelligence. It gives you more strength and it gives you more power, meaning that you have the ability to actually affect change in your life.
Right. So I've heard you say to men in our groups that emotions, they're just data.
Right.
You know, because
right.
sometimes you will hear guys think that emotions get in the way of clear thinking.
Right.
And so how do you respond to that when you hear men say that? That it's going to interfere. If you get me all talking, you know, and connected to my emotions, I'm just going to end up drowning in a puddle, or I'm going to end up making all my decisions in an emotional, impulsive way. And so say a little bit about emotions being data.
Emotions are basically telling us where we are in relationship to getting our needs met. So if we feel what we call a negative emotion, like fear, anger, sadness, that's basically telling us there's a need that's not getting met. If we feel a positive emotion like happiness or contentment, it's basically data, feedback, telling us, hey, there's a need that is getting met here.
Right.
So that's the kind of information that everybody needs in order to live a fulfilled life. And yes, emotions can get in the way if there's not enough reasonable skill to manage them and work with them. They can, right, they can flood somebody's awareness and overpower them. And a lot of people are afraid of that.
Right.
But when emotions are kind of in that ideal range of not too much, not too little, they give us so much information.
Right. So having emotional resources is being able to be connected to emotion, but emotional intelligence is a whole nother step.
Is what I'm hearing. I would say emotional resources is part of emotional intelligence, but right, it's only part of it.
Right. So, men are taught that emotions are good resources and they just get in the way, then there's a socialization process that pummels it out of them. And so it really, somatic work is what? About trying to get reacquainted with where emotions are stored? How's this intelligence developed?
Emotions always show up in the body in some form or another. So they generally show up as a physical sensation somewhere.
Okay.
And they also generally show up as some kind of an impulse to move or to act. And that's because, again, they're trying to help us get our needs met. So some kind of information arises in our body that says, hey, pay attention to this, and then take some kind of an action on it. So when we have been socialized to not feel our feelings, the only way we can really do that is by suppressing something in our body, tightening up muscles or holding our breath or tightening our jaw or making our eyes hard and steely.
What about expelling it? Like if you just tension, and how does it teach men to depend on what we have termed it, kind of this externalization. Let's get this tension out of my body.
Yeah, definitely. That's the other side of the coin too, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And both ways are ways of avoiding actually feeling the feeling. You know, expelling it is just getting rid of it as quickly as possible, and suppressing it is trying to get rid of it,
right,
maybe more slowly.
So men's violence, do you think men are born to be more violent than women? Or you think there's the socialization, that there's this expelling, or there's not dealing with shame well? I mean, what's some of your ideas about how emotions play into violence or the lack thereof?
I don't think that males are born to be more violent than females. I definitely think that we're socialized to be more violent. And I think it's just what we were talking about, that it's that externalization. It's not okay to feel, you know, the air quotes, girly feelings, the soft feelings, you know, like sadness. It's not okay to cry if you're a boy. And so, you know, in order to do that, well, you yell or you hit somebody or, you know, like you, right, you act it out. So yeah, males are generally socialized to not feel the more vulnerable feelings. It's okay in certain instances to feel anger, or, you know, to feel the more like traditionally masculine acceptable,
right,
feelings. So I think the culture that we're brought up in teaches us to like get rid of the vulnerable feelings,
right,
whatever it takes. If it's, you know, anger, yelling, that's fine. If it's suppressing it and just tightening everything up, that's
right,
fine.
So one way to reclaim your masculinity is if someone shames you or humiliates you, is to, you can perform masculinity by aggression, and then it's almost like a way of kind of proving your manhood. And so it's, again, that socialization of externalization.
Right.
So in the psychological community, you and I both have done a lot of reading over the years, and one of the things that I've seen, and I think you've seen as well, is that if you're going to do therapy with men, then you better be really good at cognitive behavioral therapy, because men don't do emotions,
right?
Right? So there's was a lot of emphasis on, you know, psychoeducation, cognitive behavioral, CBT, And that was like what you had to be really good at if you worked with or working with men. What you and I are doing is kind of goes against that. And so, like for you to talk just a little bit about why you what you see how men respond to the work that you do, and can they do it? Can they do this somatic emotional reclamation work? And right. Do they find it valuable?
Definitely. I've seen men make some profound transformation. So the more cognitive approaches, they're very often necessary for somebody to get to a point where they can do the somatic work, to have some kind of intellectual understanding of their patterns. And, I think that's really helful as a foundation. Mm-hmm. Once they have that foundation, or if they come in with that foundation, then the somatic work is kind of turning it all up on its head. I mean, you and I have talked before about the more cognitive approach being a top-down approach, and the somatic approach being more of a bottom-up approach. So it's really shifting their orientation to, I'm not just going to think about this thing and talk about it. So it takes a lot of education in the beginning with somebody who's new to it to teach them, no, all we're going to do right now is just drop into your body and feel what you're feeling. That's all. That's right. Like, well, what's that going to accomplish?
Right.
But what it accomplishes is it's almost impossible to bring awareness into your physical body without starting to access emotion, because that's really where the emotion shows up. So part of what I do somatically with men is, first of all, teach them, redirect them out of their constant, habitual thinking, talking,
right,
into, okay, let's take a pause from the stream of thought and let's drop in and just see what's happening in your body right now. So some men take to that more quickly. Some men, it takes quite a while for them to start to realize, oh, there is actually value in this. But once they start to, once they have their first experience of realizing, I get it. I've been in my body now for 5 minutes feeling it, and now all of a sudden, there's tears in my eyes, or I feel anger in my chest, and then at that point we can kind of help guide them.
Right. I often hear the men that we work with sometimes early in the process of kind of getting used to and getting more acquainted to the work that you and I do with each other, is that they will say, is this a Ken day? And it's like, Ken scares the hell out of me. And it's like, if anybody knows Ken Porter, he's not that intimidating. He's a pretty gentle man. And so, but what I think they're saying, they only have the language for, is that what you are trying to have them do with themselves scares the hell out of them, which is to basically be a pioneer or be an explorer in this inner landscape or this inner world. It's like we challenged men to go out to the wild, wild west and to go to the moon and go to the deep seas. And we were really good pioneers and courageous when we had men do that. But this new, I think, what I would say, this new place for men to go is the inner landscape. And so wondering about what you hear from men as they begin to have the courage to see that's a different kind of courage to go into the inner life. And I think you've had guys say, if I'm scared to do this or talk about it, then this is where I need to go.
Right. Yeah. And I love it when we get to that point with somebody right.
Yeah.
where they recognize.
They recognize it. If I'm scared to run into this building and rescue this child that's building that's burning, doesn't mean that I shouldn't do it, because it's the right thing to do. And I think when guys recognize it's a scary thing to do this work, but I realize that it helps me.
Right.
And they get there.
And that's a perfect metaphor. They are running into a burning building, rescuing a child, and that child
the
is
inner
them.
Child.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, that child is what got shut down out of necessity to survive as a male, as a boy.
Yeah.
And also, you know, I think a big part of the fear, the terror that men can feel when they're invited to do this kind of work, to do this kind of exploration, is that they're being asked to leave behind what they know. I mean, like they've developed this whole arsenal of tools that are based on keeping things under control, and you know, this is asking them, yeah, let's put those tools down and pick up these new tools.
Right.
And it's scary.
And the thing that I think that I marvel at is that, and I think people who are listening might think, oh gosh, you're emasculating these men or you're making them weak, is you and I both know that we work with, you know, construction workers that come in here with dirty boots, and we work with attorneys who are trial attorneys and athletes, and they come in here and show us a form of courage that's really remarkable in terms of getting into these really tender places. But that doesn't mean they don't walk out of the office and drive away and go do the same work that, you know, that they do every day and still able to perform. So it doesn't weaken them.
Right, right.
And just saying more about what it does do to their wellness and their wholeness, and see if you can say more about that.
I see it as making them a more complete person, a more well-rounded person. It's not taking something away. It's not taking a strength away or taking a power away. It's adding in things that have been discarded out of necessity. So, you know, some of the main things that it's adding in is relational, you know, like relational intelligence, the ability to connect with a partner or a friend or a, you know, a loved one or even a coworker, you know, to connect in a real way. Like that's a life skill that, you know, is okay for women to learn, you know, as girls, but often not okay for boys to learn. And so that's something that's just been lost and needs to be reclaimed.
Right. Hence the name emotional reclamation therapy,
right.
Or experiential reclamation therapy.
Right, right.
What makes it experiential, and why? I mean, I know the answer to these, but I just want our listeners to hear this. Is like, why is, you know, is it need to be experiential, and how do we incorporate, you know, the experiences with you and with other group members getting involved, and how does that help?
Well, we've you know, there's a couple of ways that men or anybody keeps emotions in check or at bay. One of them, like we've talked about, is to act it out, and the other is, you know, or to suppress it. The other is to intellectualize it. To just intellectualize. So, you know, going into your head is a way to kind of, you know, go into this abstract realm of ideas and thoughts. And there's a whole, I mean, you know, neuroscientists talk about the default mode network in the brain, which
right.
is basically our sense of self. It's basically like all the habitual neural networks that help us create some sense of, this is who I am, this is my identity.
Right.
And it's all just habitual. It's all very entrenched. And as long as you stay in an intellectual realm, that default mode network is not, it's going to stay, it's going to just keep getting reinforced.
Right. It's not challenged.
It's not challenged. And then, so experiential means that, so you have an intellectual thought, there's an emotion that goes with it. When you can locate that emotion in your body and feel it and feel the impulse that emotion is driving you to do, like that's an experience. So I can say, well, I'm angry and I could yell at somebody, or I can say, well, I feel anger as this heat in my chest.
Right.
And it's heat, it's in my throat and my chest, and I feel my upper body tensing up. And so in this work with men, you know, what we do is just say, okay, great. So stay with that. Mm-hmm. Stay in your body, feel that heat, feel that tension. Yeah, it's uncomfortable as hell, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's hard to stay with, but
that's
stay
why you
with
want
it.
To expel it. Is right. It's hard right. to stay with
it's,
it. Yeah,
it's very uncomfortable. Right. And so then, you know, it's about teaching these men the value of, like, this is the experience. This is not a thought about it, and it's not a just, you know, an action that blows it out of the water. This is an experience. So stay mm-hmm. with the experience and then let that experience start to inform you, and it will. So if you can stay with that heat and stay with that tension, it's going to reveal some information that's sometimes very surprising.
And what I've seen happen, sometimes it might start out with anger, and then when they stay with it longer, then they start figuring out that there's stuff underneath it. And
right.
they get to some of the grief or shame. And so right. men are socialized oftentimes to convert or transform all emotional experiences into anger, because anger is more of an empowering emotion, or more of a masculine emotion. So when you get more, if you want to talk about anger management, it's like if you got so much anger in your body, it's going to be hard to manage. And one way to do anger management is a somatic approach, which is to deconstruct it and learn about all that's under there.
Right, right.
And you do that by studying it.
Exactly.
Slowing it down.
Exactly, right. Right. Right.
Yeah.
So it's a different use of the mind, you know, instead yeah. of the mind being in a analytical or problem-solving mode, the mind is shifting into an observational mode. It's just observing.
Right.
So that's a stretch for a lot of men. You know, it's like something they haven't spent a lot of time doing.
Right.
Just self-reflecting, just noticing, just being aware.
Right. And I think that's why we always start the groups out with a centering, just to get
right.
people out of their heads as much as possible. I mean, it's hard for you and I to get out of our heads.
Right.
You know, you meditate, but just at least start there as a way of kind of saying, let's get connected, try to quiet our minds, get connected to our bodies, do some breath work, and then having people jump in and doing some work.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as we come to a kind of the end here, and you might have some listeners who are kind of like, eh, this seems a little like hocus pocus, or, you know, I'm not sure this is for me, or obviously we don't throw people into these groups. We have individual intake sessions to try to get to know each other and see if it's appropriate. But I just wondered what you would say to someone who's really skeptical or saying, I don't know if this is for me or this is going to be helpful, if you have some words of encouragement for that person or takeaways or something. Yeah.
One thing I would say is that, I don't know if this would encourage somebody to get into it or not, but that, like, you can't really know until you try it.
Yeah.
Because it is experiential,
right.
and you can talk intellectually about it all day, but until you actually have the experience of being in your body and feeling what you and I have been talking about, right. It's probably not going to make sense. I would say that I'm pretty committed to meeting people where they're at. And so not pushing somebody. I mean, there is kind of an old school approach to working with men that's like, we're going to be warriors and we're going to, you know, we're going to push you to your limit and we're going right. to break down your defenses. And
yeah.
and it's like, that's not the approach that I'm coming from. It's I mean, yes, we're interested in breaking down the defenses, but, you know, at the defense's own pace.
Right.
So I'm very conscientious about, you know, noticing when somebody's defenses are coming up and saying, oh, here's a defense.
Like, right.
beautiful. Let's hang out with the defense, you know? So I'm right. not, it's not an attack on the construct that you've, you right. know, built. It's mostly, it's really just it's an embracing of everything
right.
that's there.
Right. Well, as men, we are easy to ask for help for our golf swing or for our portfolios and stuff, but this is just another way of asking for help for something that sometimes we need some assistance in. So it's always enjoyable to do this work with you, Ken, and I appreciate you coming here today and talking with us about it.
Yeah, thank you. And likewise, appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Revealing Men. If you're looking for more information about counseling, coaching, and consultative services, please visit the Men's Resource Center of West Michigan online at menscenter.org. Also, feel free to contact us on our website if you have any questions about this segment, ideas for a topic, or would like to be a guest on the Revealing Men podcast. Be well and have a great day.